So if you were with us last week, and we talked a lot about how, you know, in church we were kind of trained, we were supposed to, you know, do, you know, I visited somebody's church with them, and it was one of those, you know, kneel down, stand up, you know, and so I was rather, probably disrespectfully, saying, lean to the left, lean to the right, stand up, sit down, foot, right, right, you know, so I'm like, I don't feel anything of the Lord in this. You guys might, I don't. You know, repeat this, okay. Repeat that, okay. But they, a lot of the people in there had never heard a message about being born again. Right? So inside your body, you need to understand who's in there. You need to get a revelation of the real you, which is a creature from heaven. C.S. Lewis said, every person you meet will one day be a creature so glorious you would be tempted to bow down and worship them. Or a creature so terrifying that you would be tempted to run away from them in terror. See, he had an understanding of eternity and who you are on the inside. We have not understood it, and because we haven't, we've lived the churchy thing in our flesh, sometimes with a mask. Now, it's not wrong. I'm a big believer in positive confession, so don't get all over me. But you know, a lot of times people have been trained, how are you doing? Blessed and highly favored, hallelujah. Now, that is a good thing. That's a good positive confession. But I know sometimes we need to deal with who we really are. She's having a good time, hallelujah. What God wants you to understand is that if you could get past the soulish realm, if you could get past, if you could retrain your mind to be in alignment with the Word of God, which means you reject the lies. Satan comes and says, that guy doesn't like you. He doesn't like, you know, he doesn't like you. And you go, oh. Satan's whispered. Satan has the ability to throw darts, their thoughts. Did you know that angels have the ability to do that? Do you know that Satan and his gang are fallen angels? So they have the ability to throw a dart, and if you don't train your mind to understand it, your emotions will take that thing and spin and go, oh, God doesn't love me. I'm condemned. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I eat worms all day. Remember that from when you were little? And so what happens is if we do not deliberately, proactively exchange those thoughts, you have to get really, you got to be shrewder. Yeah. Jesus said he wanted us to be as shrewd as serpents, but as gentle as doves. Why? Because serpents are shrewd. See, Satan doesn't have any real power, does he? Jesus stripped him of all power. He did. The blood stripped him. Jesus, just before he went to the cross, you can read it, just before he went, said, now is the prince of this world cast out. I remember reading that going, really, he cast out. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, I'm about to go do a thing. I am about to go do a thing that will demolish the power of the enemy in this world. He's losing his position. And so why? Listen, if Satan could kill you, he'd have killed you. You'd be dead. You wouldn't be here. So what has he got? The only tool in his toolbox is if he can deceive you. How does he deceive you? With darts. And if one doesn't work on you, he'll try another one. He might try, see, I used to have a spirit of guilt and condemnation. Wasn't even doing anything interesting. I mean, I was pretty, you know, living pretty straight, but I just felt bad all the time, thought God was mad at me. It was a foul spirit. I was delivered from that, so delivered that now if Satan comes and says you're not worthy, I'd be like, and your point would be, hallelujah. You can't get me on that because I've been renewed. So then he says, oh, that didn't work anymore. Okay, how about this? You are sick. Did you see that? You had a tickly throat. It's the plague. And see, if you go, oh, give me some honey. Then he says, okay, yeah, Google. He'll try to get you to believe, and if that doesn't work, he'll try something else. See, he doesn't have to get you to commit adultery. If he can, he will, but he doesn't need that. You know, for some of y'all, it takes is too busy. Oh, you better get that done. Oh, you better get that done. Oh, and look at the list. You got to do. And you're just sucked in, and days and days and days go by. And he's like, don't even need to get that one to sin. Don't even need it. Because if he can keep you busy enough, you won't go into the Holy of Holies. You're too busy. I went down to this cabin, and I took my computer. Cabin on a lake. I'm going to do some work. Lord says, no, you're not. I'm like, but God, I've been waiting all these months to get to this. He's like, no, you're not. I'm like, okay, so, you know, not today. He's like, no, I want you to give me 4 days. You aren't touching that computer. I'm like, okay. Ended up having about 30 days. Best time of my life. I won't say I didn't get any work done, but I'll tell you, it was by the end of the month, I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to hang out with him. He took me. Listen, you know why some people don't have more encounters? Because you haven't yielded enough time. If you want to get close to your spouse and you never see him, it's not going to happen. If you want to get close to your best friend and you never, once a year you call and say, how you doing? Great. How you doing? I'm busy. Can pray for this, pray for that. Okay, bye-bye. You will grow apart. Fact. Relationship requires time. And time is something that the enemy has made sure we do not have. And if you don't make sure this is a thing in your life, I am going to do this, it'll just be snatched away so easy. You'll be running. I got to go, oh, Lord, I'm talking to you out of the way. Oh, Lord, okay, can you do this? And by the way, can you, I got to shun, because I'm really busy. God, I got to shun. Now, I'm not condemning it. I have done it. But I am saying, when you really want the goods, some of you are hungry enough for God that you want more than just the little bit. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like a month with the Lord. By the end of that, because before I went, I'll just give you. The Lord said to me, when was the happiest time in your life? I thought, why is he asking me that? I thought, well, probably when I was a little kid on grandma's farm. No responsibilities, barefoot, running around in the dirt, playing with the horses. Great time, no responsibilities. He said, keep going. When was the next happiest time? I said, well, it was when you and I used to walk around the lake together, Lord. And we would talk for hours. And it was actually one of the most difficult times of my life in terms of trials. But I remembered it as being the happiest time because it was why I would go to the lake after work and I'd walk around twice, 40 minutes, and we would talk and talk and talk. And I'd just walk real slow and hang out with him. And my relationship grew and hearing him grew. Well, I have to tell him about strolling.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
He's a puller.
He's pulling. I love that. So one day I get home from work, and it was a really rough day, and my mind is racing. You were hearing an auctioneer that was. And I'm like, I don't understand why I'm not hearing from you. Why am I not hearing from you? How come I can't hear from you? Why can't I hear from you? And the Lord said the strangest thing to me. He said, stroll. Well, have you ever tried to stroll when your mind is racing? I mean, I had like 20 projects, pressure, deadlines, people yelling. And I thought, okay, now my mind is still racing, but I went, I started to slow down, and here's what happened. My mind went, ear, 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 and geared back. God is smarter than me. When it geared back, immediately started talking. Well, I don't stroll like you stroll. This is Lori. But she hears really good. Me, I'm more like, Lord, can you explain to me about this? Or can you show me about that? And sometimes I'll sit on a bench and I try to make sure nobody sees my lips moving. Sometimes that doesn't work. But what I discovered was when I gear back, God's already talking. God talks all the time. It's us. When God was teaching me, this is free, this is part of the message. He said, people think I'm like this. You think I'm like this. You meet a friend you haven't seen in a year in a coffee shop, and you say to them, how you doing? How's your family? He said, my people think I'm like that, that I don't talk and I don't want to, and I only talk when I get in the mood. He said, no, I'm talking all the time. I'm talking all the time. It took me years to understand. He had to teach me how to listen. He had to teach me, and after he taught me how, he taught me why that worked. He does that with me a lot. He'll teach me how to get it to work and then say, now here's why that worked. So I'll give you the punchline. The reason it worked is he isn't talking to your flesh. He isn't talking to your intellect, no matter how smart you are. He's talking to your born-again spirit. By the way, all the time. So the problem we have, if you say, well, God doesn't talk to me, that's not true. God talks to you just like he talks to me. All the time. But the problem you may have is you haven't learned how to connect with your spirit man. Because your mind is... Do you ever meet somebody who, I'm being kind, okay, I'm trying to be gentle. Do you ever meet somebody who prophesies out of their mind? You know, they look at your shoes and they say, oh, I see you're wearing flip-flops, God says to you, and they turn it into this prophecy, and it was like, I'm just being honest, some of that is not God. Being kind and gentle. What was the one about the butterfly shirt or something? Listen, that isn't helpful to people. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. You just did them damage, and you did yourself damage. I've had people come to me and say, I just don't know what to do. This person prophesied this thing to me. It kind of doesn't... And I'm like, I'm trying to be kind, but that was flesh. You want to be kind, but we have to be careful in the body not to... And you know why people do it? It's okay to make a mistake. That is okay. We all make mistakes. That's fine. God loves us. Thank God. But what some people have an issue with ego, and they want to be seen as spiritual, okay? So we listen, I said it the last week, I'm saying it again. The best thing you can do for yourself is take your ego out back and stab it to death, okay? Because if you want the glory of God, God won't share his glory with anybody. I don't care how cute you are. I don't care how intellectual you are. I don't care if you went to 4 schools of theology. God will not share his glory. And the way to get God to his, you want his fragrance. You want his life, his life-giving power. The more you make yourself less, not pretending, false humility stinketh and it's a work of the flesh. Oh, I'm just no good at it. Well, that doesn't do it. Janet and I were talking about the doors in heaven. There's many doors in heaven. And the further in you go, the smaller they get. And I remember seeing a door about that high, about a foot and a half high. But I knew God's beckoning us. Can I just say sometimes we're too big for our britches? And sometimes we've made it too much about me being used. Pew! The truth is God wants to use you more than you want to be used. God wants to use all of us to carry the very presence and the fragrance of heaven so that, like Finney, the Holy Spirit can look at somebody through us and they are changed and it spreads to others. That's when I first heard that, I was undone, wrecked forever, because I realized this isn't some thing we imitate. Finney, I'm going to say it, purchased something from heaven. What did Jesus say? Come buy of me gold, try in the fire. There are some things you don't just waltz into because you're so nice. There are some things you do pay a price to get. It does cost. It costs time. It costs commitment, and it's not for 3 days. When I first said, man, I don't care what it costs, when I heard about the glory of God, and when I came to understand that there have been people, not one but many, who've actually carried the presence into places There are people who've carried such a presence that people got saved miles away. How can that be? How can that happen? Because they had so entrenched themselves in God, they had so become full of the Lord. John G. Lake went to shake hands with people after a meeting and they'd go, poof. He wasn't trying to heal them. He just wanted to meet them. Hey, brother, so? When I learned that this was a thing, that's a thing, and I said, nothing on this earth is worth anything to me. There's nothing, no dream, no idol, there's nothing. When I got it, I'm like, there is nothing that matters to me. I want the presence of the Lord. And I don't care how much it costs. I said, I will spend the rest of my life. I don't know anything, God. I don't know anything about anything. Probably the worst candidate in the world. But here I am. And I said, if it's the last thing I do, I want you to teach me the walk of the Spirit. I'm still learning. I'm not there. I'm not sure there is a there. But I will say this. I'm walking in a lot I didn't used to. But I'm on my way to a lot more. I'm not satisfied, not one bit. God wants to change our perspective. And part of it is dying to self. Here's a message we don't like. That isn't preached very often. Jesus said, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You mean I gotta die? Well, only if you want to follow me. When Paul said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Do you know that he was talking to people that by law were not allowed to call anybody but Caesar Lord, and a penalty was death? It wasn't, okay, Lord. It wasn't the American, oh, Lord, Lord, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you won't do the things I say? Ruh-roh. Say, we didn't come to hear this. Well, you're here. So the Romans, if they called anybody Lord but Caesar, to the lions you go. So he wasn't fooling when he wrote that. And so what Jesus is saying is, see, the reason a lot of people don't want to die is they've never understood what they could have. A lot of people don't understand. They want resurrection power. There's only one way to resurrection power.
Yes, there is.
One must die. I said, no lady who would preach, die well. Die well. Oh, goody. But one thing I know, God wants to release his glory through his people, and especially in this day. If ever there was, watch the time clock, if ever there was a time clock that's ticking very close, right, very close to the return of the Lord, very close to some things happening, and I'm going to tell you, it said nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So don't be surprised when strange things go on in both kingdoms. We're starting to see. Have you ever looked at things lately? And how? Yeah. What? Right? Strange things. But the church is designated. God wants, and not everybody will do it. Because a lot of people join the church because somebody kind of, I don't want to be mean, but they heard this gospel. Well, say this prayer, you know, because we want to shake your hand and say you're born again. So say this and you won't go to hell, but we're not going to tell you that you have to change in any way.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. Nothing you do will earn, right? He's already done it. But for you to walk in it, you have to reposition yourself. Here's what I learned. I had some things I would call idols. I didn't know they were. An idol is anything you want more than God. Okay? Okay. Sorry, the Lord wants me to go there. Okay, I was born again at 15, but Jesus was not Lord. There's a big difference. Yeah, he's saying, say that. He's saying that. That's my cheerleader right there. Thank you. When you are born again and you don't make him Lord, like he's Savior, right? You're looking for the blessing, but God blesses what's in his jurisdiction. So if you give him four areas and keep two, those four areas, you'll watch the blessing of the Lord. And those two, you'll get clobbered. And it's not because God is mad, it's because you have not placed them in his jurisdiction. By default, you've placed them in the jurisdiction of the enemy, and he will clobber you. There's not three kingdoms. There's not God's kingdom, Satan's kingdom, and your kingdom. So by default, if you have an area you're holding back, just saying it, I did. I had this one area. I was, you know, like 20. It was cute then. Yeeny. Cute. I was cutting hair down to here. Skinny. You know, I'm just saying. And I had this one area I wasn't going to give to God, and it was called men. Because I was sure that if I let God pick him, he'd be a geek and icky, and I just wouldn't like him. See, what that is called is not trusting God.
Right.
That's called not believing God knows more than you do about what you need.
Right.
Well, because I didn't submit that area to him, it did not go well. I had bad to worse, to even worse to worse after that, because I just wouldn't give it up. But 99% of my life I gave to God. First area of my life I gave to him was finances. Because the first book I ever read was Malachi. So I knew, by golly, God wanted the tithe. Hey, I learned that. So I began to tithe, and even while I was still a mess, God started to bless me, and I knew it was him. By the time I was 24, I had a business, and I made more than all the men in my neighborhood. 24, still messing up with men who were idols. Just sharing this. We have to go where God goes, right? We don't get to pick what we preach. Or we wouldn't preach this. So I didn't know much about Christianity, to be honest. I wasn't even a backslider because I'd never really front slid, you know. Didn't really even know the word except Malachi. I knew that. God hates divorce, give your money. That's all I knew. So I had this friend, and he was a devout Christian brother. And he was young, and we were just friends. And we'd been hanging out together, and he was, you know, talking to me about the things of the Lord. I got my first little Bibles in a little pocket, you know, little tiny things. I was reading it for the first time. And he called me one night, and he said, I felt like the Lord wanted me to call you and say, I don't have sex outside of marriage. And I'm thinking, well, who wants to, you geek? I mean, honestly, I'm just being honest. I was like, you know, don't think much of yourself, do you? But the Lord had him do that. So after I got over my irritation and hung up the phone, I remember sitting down and thinking, if a guy can do it, I can do it. And I thought, that's it. That's I'm supposed to give that to God. And so I said, I was 26. I said, okay, God, I'm making one decision today. Some of you still have not made this decision. There's a few people in here. You have not made Jesus Lord of your whole life. And because of it, you're suffering. Because it's an open door to the devil. And he's clocked you. And you're like, why did God let that happen? But what happened is you allowed Satan in through an open door. Okay, I love you. I'm not telling you this because I'm mad. But an open door can kill you. I got down on my knees for the second time in my life, 26. And I said, Lord, I'm making one decision today. And that's that I don't make decisions anymore. You do. You are Lord. I am not. And I gave him 100% of my life. Some of us need to say that. I know most of you have. I wasn't going to do this, but I feel like it's important. So I'm going to have us all say it for the sake of those who just need to, okay? I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus Christ is my Savior.
Jesus Christ is my Savior.
But this day,
I make him
my Lord.
Jesus, I want you
to run my life,
make my decisions,
lead me in the way I should go.
I know you're smarter than I am.
And I trust you with my life.
In Jesus' name.
Now, I don't know who said, somebody said that in a minute. I felt it like I felt. Your life will change. If you said that and you never said that before, your life will change. Because now Jesus has been put on the throne. The worst form of idolatry is self, when we put self on the throne. When I was in my 20s, I had always, my whole life, I had a dream I mean, from 3 years old, I was going to have a farm, I was going to have a ranch, I was going to have horses, and every waking thought, that's what I thought about. I designed barns, I designed farmhouses, I took certain classes so I could make enough money to buy the land. And my friend had show horses, beautiful, amazing show horses. And I was out in her barn, and I'm just petting this beautiful show horse, and the Lord says to me, "Idol." And my heart went, boom. It was like, now I'd already made the decision, I will have no other gods before you. So the decision was already made. But did I cry for 6 months? You bet. Because it had never occurred to me that dream was an idol. An idol is an open door for the enemy to harm you. Oh man, are we going there? Boy, howdy. I'm not going to look at anybody, but sometimes we don't realize that we can be a bit controlling. And even some people who are not controllers by nature will control and manage an area of their life, okay? They won't really let God do it. I know I'm kind of getting in your underwear drawer. But God is basically saying, I'm just paraphrasing here, but he's saying, if I'm really Lord, and if you really believe that I'm smart enough to run your life, do you think you could give me those areas to run and trust that I know best? And see, what we do is we figure out what God should do, how he should do it, and when he should do it, and I get prayer requests where I'm supposed to tell God, it's like I don't pray that way, so you'll have to go down the road. Now, if it's something he's promised in his word, and I know it's a promise, that I can pray. We'll have that. We'll have that by faith. You promised it. Yay. But I've had people tell, I was sitting next to a lady. This lady was moving to Tennessee with her husband. She felt like Edgar and I should move there too because Edgar was occasionally going down there to do television. And we're sitting next to each other in this little prayer group. And she said, "Lord, tell Edgar he's supposed to move to Tennessee." And I'm thinking, excuse me, I'm a little part of this. And, oh, wait, what about God's will? Because I hadn't kind of felt we were doing that. Now, she probably meant well, but that's control.
Right.
You cannot control the Lord. And you know what he does? He's so sweet, he'll just go. He loves you. He doesn't love you any less. But if you're stuck, ask the Lord why you're stuck. That was free. Okay, so let me explain controlling a little bit, because there's people in here. Now, Joyce Meyer helped me a lot with this, because I didn't understand how control works, because it's not my personality type. It's not mine. I have other issues, but not that. But she said people who control have usually been hurt, and control is a shield of protection that, by golly, nobody's going to do that to me again. So we set up this, we go on the offense. She said controlling people know that they're controlling. When God was teaching me about this, I had no idea we were going here. But God wants to release us. He wants you blessed. He's not telling you this out of any kind of pointing of the finger or condemnation. He's telling you this because he wants you blessed. And if something is blocking you, he wants it removed, okay? Some of us have gone for years and wondered why it doesn't work. So the way he taught me about control, he said, imagine two women, they're very close friends, and one is kind of the submissive one. And she won't buy a purse without the other one saying, "Yep, I think that's a good purse. Yep." And the other one will tell the first one how to do their life. You know, what to cook. Now, if they're just friends sharing, that's okay. But if the one person is controlling and the other person is yielding to that, here's what God told me. The person that's submitting has made the other person their God instead of the Lord. The person who's doing the controlling is saying, "I want to be God to you because it makes my pride feel good." I just kind of want to sneak out now. But I'm only telling you because sometimes we can get into it. I mean, even if we're not controlling, sometimes we have this one area that we haven't been able to let go of, and we're so busy telling God what to do with it, and we're wondering why he isn't. And sometimes we have to just put that thing on the altar and let it burn. It doesn't mean God's not going to do it. But he will not do it while it's an idol. Your one shot is burn it. Your one shot at getting it to happen is take it to the foot of the cross, let it burn, and then say, if you want that, you raise it. You want that relationship, you raise it. There's people in here, again, I'm not looking at anybody, you've had broken relationships with people in your family, some of you, it's your kids, and it has been very painful, and you've prayed very hard, and you're praying for your child. I had a friend, a real good friend, an amazing saint of God, really dedicated to the Lord. She'd been estranged from her two boys. And because of it, she couldn't see her grandchildren. We were having dinner, and the Lord said, I want you to tell her to put them on the cross. You know, put them on the altar. And so real gently, I said, sweetie, I think the Lord is asking you to put them in the altar. And she said, honey, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but you don't know what it's like. I said, you're right, I don't, but okay. Just waited. Many months goes by. We're praying on the phone. I see a picture of a bonfire. And she's kneeling, not disrespecting, we've all kneeled at bonfires. But she knelt down and she was worshiping this bonfire. And I said, Lord, what is that bonfire? And he said, it's emotions. She's bowing down to emotions. And I said, sweetie, oh friend, beloved, you don't get mad. I said, I'm seeing this picture. And when I said it, she said, you're right. That's exactly right. But really, the emotions had to do with the estranged boys and the grandkids that she was not allowed to see. So we were able to say a prayer together. She was able to release the boys, which are grown men, right? Within one month, one had already come back. Within another month, the other one had come back. And now every weekend, I get pictures of her grandchildren and their bicycles and their toys and their new playroom. And it's like, okay, I got it. I got it. Stop sending me photos. All right. But how fast, how many years over one thing? If God has not come through to you, instead of continuing the process of begging and whining and going to people for agreement, calling the prayer line and why doesn't it work and what's happening, God, just step back and say, Lord, is there something you're trying to show me? And what I found is that's the shortcut to victory. Sometimes it is just the devil being mean. Sometimes we just need to learn how to do warfare. And I get that. There's the devil is real. Sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes it's flat out witchcraft and you gotta nail it, you gotta know how to nail it. Sometimes it's not you. And it's not always some rank sin you're doing, I'm not saying that. But sometimes, Jim and I were talking about it, sometimes it's your perspective. Your understanding needs correction. We have to align our mind with the Word of God in one area, right? I'm telling you, I've had hundreds of areas where God has had to say, excuse me, you need a little correction here. And you know what I've learned? If I even see a trial coming, if I smell a trial coming, the first thing I do is say, are you trying to show me something? Is there something I need to correct? Am I looking at something wrong? And what I found is most trials never come to the door. They can't. Because Satan has no legal access if we don't give it to him. Our problem is sometimes we are unknowingly given to him. Okay? You guys had enough? Are you thirsty for more? Oh, they're thirsty for more. Yeah. Beat me up some more. Hit me. I used to be mentored under this lady preacher who preached like her hair was on fire. And man, she could rebuke you stiff. Woo! They called it clothesline preacher. It was from the old holiness days. And I'd be like, ooh, you know, Bible, like, I love it. Give me again, you know, make me repent, you know. I like correction. I like correction because I found it's the pathway to success. We want success, but when people tell you they want God to bless them, but they aren't willing to do what he wants, they're, you know, well, how many years, you spend as many years if you want there, you can 20 more if you want. But wouldn't it be more fun to just deal with the issue and receive the blessing now and move on to the next thing? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So I feel like God is releasing us into a new walk. I wish it had not taken me so many years to comprehend the truth in this area. It took me many years of walking with Jesus and sitting at his feet and being corrected and having to say, okay, here's how it works. You think it works this way, it works that way. You know what one of our problems is? We know so much. Because we learn a lot. One man had a vision of American Christians, and their heads were huge, and they did little bitty bodies. And he said, Lord, what does that mean? And the Lord said, they have all this head knowledge, but their spirits are starving and malnourished because we have not tended to our spirit man. We need to change the way we think and act. We need to change the way we seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Listen, he wants to do things that are so far beyond us. When I was in that month alone with God, he took me. He had shown me back in January. I was sitting in a prayer chair. It was after midnight in my living room. It was dark. I like to sit in the dark with the Lord late at night. It's real quiet. And I see a picture of this amazing city, and it's like a great pillar. It's like almost like a cylinder. And the bottom part of it is in the earth, and the top part of it is in heaven. And I thought, what is that? Am I seeing the new Jerusalem? What is that? And I'm thinking, you know, when you don't know, you just pray. You pray for revelation. You pray for wisdom, because I was clueless. But when I went away with him, actually, he kind of made me go away with him. You know, here's me. I'm going to work. He began to reveal that city. And he began to show me. Now, some of you know that you have a chair in heaven, right? You're seated in heavenly places. We have to learn how to see ourselves as being seated in heavenly places. Right. And we have to learn to see ourselves as the Word says, you are made complete in him. Not you will be. What's it talking about? Your spirit man. Your spirit man is complete already. Did you know that? He who knew no sin became sin for us. Became. How did that happen? That we might become the righteousness of God. We didn't just get the robe, like I'm a stinker, but I'm wearing the robe of righteousness. No, my flesh is a stinker. It's still a stinker, even though I'm working on it every day. It's better. It stinks less than it used to. But in my flesh dwells the spirit man that he created, which is the holiness. That is the righteousness. If you get a hold of this, you will stop beating yourself up all the time. If you get a hold of this, and don't get into pride like doo-dah, doo-dah. Somebody came to my church one time and they preached that we're royalty, and people started going, I'm royalty. I'm thinking, you are in pride. That's not what it's about. But there's something on the inside of you that is made in the image of Jesus Christ, fully able to do what he was fully able to do. Our problem is we have not unmasked it. We have not. Why did he say crucify the flesh? How do you think you break through? Get the knife. I don't know if I can remember. Years ago I wrote a song. Get out the knife and start the surgery. I know the knife was heaven sent. I'm on the operating table, Lord. I'm in the mood to repent. There's a lot more to it, but I don't remember it all. My point is, when we die to something or crucify, what does it say? If you do by the Spirit, mortify, that means kill, the deeds of the flesh. What happens? You make an opening. You'll see an increase in the anointing. You'll preach with more Holy Ghost. When you get your stuff out of the way, he's freer to move through you. You have a heavenly pipeline, but sometimes it can get so gunked up with our stuff and our emotions and our boo-hoo and our I don't really believe that and our issue, our anger, whatever it is, he can't move through. So when he tells you to change, it's not because he's mad. He's trying to make way into the earth. He's trying to release his glory through the church. And in this day, he's calling people in the church. Not everyone will come. Some people say, that's too hard. I don't like that message. I'm not coming. I'll do it if he just, you know, drops it on me. But that's okay. God loves them. They're born again. They're still getting in. We love them. But there are some people who say, I will do anything to carry his presence. Because see, once you get a real whiff of his presence, once you encounter the real thing and not just people talking about it, once you come and have an encounter with the real and living God, suddenly you realize this is all junk. All the dreams, all the idols, all the, if I was only married, if I just had the house on the hill, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. It's not wrong. God wants to bless you. That's not necessarily wrong. But that is not your satisfaction. He is. He is home. He is my deep satisfaction. When things are good with him, I'm good to go. I'm happy. Things aren't right with him, man, I am not going to quit till I'm back in there. See, the reason the church hasn't died to self is they have not seen the pearl of great price. If you can ever see the pearl of great price, if you ever see the fire on the mountain, if you ever encounter what Moses encountered on the top, where it's not raining but your arms get wet because of the mist, if your lips are ever touched by the coals, you're wrecked. For all this stuff, you just look at the stuff and you go, pfft. People say, where are you going to move? We're selling our house. I'm selling my house. They say, where are you going? I don't know. Guess what else? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if I don't get a house. I don't care. Do I know that God will buy me a house? He does. God's rich. He'll get me something. But the truth is, that's not my value. My value isn't if I preach good. My value isn't if you like me or think I preached good. My value is when I have a moment with him and we're alone. And he's holding me and loving me. And there's nothing wrong between us. I'm telling you, when you have that, you've got everything. Everything. God is trying to raise us up to be what we are, heavenly citizens. And so some things will have to go. Okay, I'm supposed to tell you one more thing. Trying to close. Anybody ever heard of Gary Oates? His wife, Kathy. Okay. Gary Oates was burned out from ministry 27 years as a pastor. He was burned out. He was supposed to go with Randy Clark to South America. And he called Randy and said, I'm burned out. I'm not going. Randy said, you're going. So they went, but he was just exhausted, burned out. He's in a meeting, and the Lord says to him, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. He said, Lord, I'm wearing new socks. So he wouldn't take his shoes off, and the Lord said, take off your shoes. So he took his shoes off, and his spirit began to go up. He got scared. And when he got scared, immediately went back in his body, because the Lord won't push you past, you know, he won't make you do something you're scared to do. Then he said, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I really do want to go with you. So the Lord brings him back up, right up on through, you know, his spirit, right up on to appear before the Lord. He has an encounter with God. He is radically set on fire. His whole life changes. Now, here's the good part of the story. His wife gets, in a good way, jealous. It's called jealous for the presence. And some of what we preach is I believe God is trying to make people jealous for the presence. And I want that. I don't care what it costs, right? So she began to press into God. 2 years she pressed in. After 2 years, she appeared before the Lord. And she had all these things in her pockets. And they were treasures, you know, valuable treasures. And the Lord had her pull them out, and she realized they were all cheap plastic trinkets. She pulled them all out and just dumped them. Right? Because in the presence of the Lord, they were just earthly plastic, junk. She came back, and from that time, if she's in any meeting, she can see a healing angel. And what they say, 100% of the time, when she's near somebody that's got a healing angel, they get healed 100% of the time. How about that? Right? So it took her 2 years to do that. Now, my theory is don't quit there. My theory is keep pressing. Keep pressing, and then keep pressing after that. Because you'll continue to find promotion. You'll continue to find deeper levels in God. You'll continue to find greater truths and deeper changes. But he's infinite. He has so much more for us than we know. So much more than we know. And I believe he's calling a people up because we're getting ready to enter a day where the world is going to say, we're in trouble and we need help. And it won't be 10 ministers that can do it. It's going to be anybody and everybody that knows Jesus is going to say, okay, the word says this. Here's what we do. Let me lay hands on you. Oh, you're healed. Next. Because, you know, prophetically, if the great prophets have been right, and I believe they are, there's going to be a vast, vast harvest. But it won't be easy times because there's other things going on that are causing people to run to the Lord. And we are in a, like the crux of the moment. This is like we're right at the fork in the road. I don't think it's too far out where if we didn't make the decision now, we'll be able to say, okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll change my life to make time for you. Okay, I'll change my life to make time for the presence. Right? There's no one that's an exception. God, listen, it's like all hands on deck, but all hands may not show up, but that's hallelujah. But he's giving that to us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.